Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
This morning is walking in divine destiny. This is interesting. I gotta do this. It's awesome. God's going to give you guys a building where everybody's here. Amen. I'm going to pray for that. Just everybody's here. It's awesome. God's grown this church, and we have two different wings, and it's amazing. All right. I'm going to preach on divine destiny this morning, and for those of you that are here in this place like me, and you're crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, is there more? I'm here this morning to declare over your life in faith that God has more in store for you. He has more in store for your family. He has more in store for your children. He has more in store for this church. He has more in store for every area of your life. And I believe that even walking into 2025, there's going to be a divine shift that takes place in our lives for those that choose to take the steps that are required to walk in divine destiny, that God is going to cause moments in your life that you're going to go from this arena of just surviving to this place of you're multiplying. And I feel like that's the word for this church, that you're not going to just survive. You're not just going to go through the motions. God is going to multiply the working of your hands and the working of the seeds that have been sown for the last 6 to 7 years here in Fairmont. God is going to multiply. Somebody say multiply.
Multiply.
Say God is going to multiply this house. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 through 33. I just want to say I am so grateful for your pastors. They are friends, they are family, but most importantly, they have been one of the greatest voices of encouragement in our lives for my wife and I when we were all kind of ways. They were there for us, and they continue to be there for us, and we love them so much. Put your hands together for your pastors. We love them. And yeah. We drove from Florida just to come and meet them, you know? Like, that's, you know, when it was like a year and a half ago or something like that, about a year ago. And, you know, we just wanted to be around them, and I love them so much. I wish they could come to Dallas, but that wouldn't be fair for Fairmont. Amen. And it says this, Matthew chapter 14, 25 through 33, it says this, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea," them meaning his disciples on the boat. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'Is it a ghost?' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And Jesus said, 'Come.'" Everybody say, come. There was a calling, and Jesus said, come. "And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why do you doubt?'" And then verse 33 says this, "Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Father, I pray that you would help me preach your word today, and let there be an anointing. Amen. Amen. You're looking at this story, and you're thinking about divine destiny. There are moments, and even over the last few years, every step that we've taken, and I'm gonna throw in some testimony in the middle of this preaching and kind of go back and forth to encourage you, to make you realize that the Word of God is not just something you read on a Sunday. It's something you walk out every single day of your life. And you know, over the last 2 years, even from when we left Hawaii, and a lot of you know that story, how we left, but when we left Hawaii and we came, you know, as I was leaving Hawaii, and I was telling your pastor yesterday, as we left Hawaii, I said, "Lord, you're calling us to the mainland. Where do you want us to go?" And I just had one word that was on my heart: go to West Virginia. But I didn't know that there was a King's in West Virginia. I thought it was another church, and I've told you guys a story, and we went to that other church, and it was good, and we came here, and God did what he did, and it was awesome. But it was a moment of what I like to call divine destiny. It was a moment in which that God was orchestrating the steps of the righteous man, of what the Word of God says that He does for every single one of us. The steps of the righteous are what? Ordered by the Lord. He orders your steps. That means in the process, if you and I walking our walk of faith out, God will orchestrate situations and circumstances and opportunities for us to see the kingdom of God move forward. And even coming here to West Virginia was a moment of opportunity that the Lord opened up. And every step of the way, it wasn't easy, but it was always a response of, yes, Lord, we'll go. And I believe for our lives today, is there a yes in your step? Is there a yes in your step? When God asks you to do the little, it's not about the big, it's about the little. It's in the small steps that God chooses to build the character and the destiny and bring out faith out of our lives. But it every little step or every big step requires a great yes. And you see the story of Peter. Here, he's in the boat, he's with the rest of the people, and you begin to see Peter encountering divine destiny. And walking in divine destiny is not just about the moments, it's about the movement of your faith. It is about the pivotal point of your life where God's call demands a response. Divine destiny is a moment in time where God challenges you, whether it be in the area of giving, whether it be in the area of serving, whether it be in the area of evangelism and getting out of your seat that has your rear end stained on the back end of it and say, I'm going to do something for the Lord. It requires a response. It's the stepping out of the boat, and it is the stepping into the unknown because you trust the one who calls you. And you see Peter encountering Jesus and Jesus requiring a response. He said, come. My point number one that I want to make today to you is this, is that we must let go of what was and take a hold of what God is calling us to. If I could just encourage you this morning, is that every single one of us have great stories in our life. We have how God has moved and how God has shown up. And I'm thankful for God's faithfulness. Who's thankful for God's faithfulness this morning? Amen. But God is not done with what He has done in your life. God wants to continue to do what He does best. That is show up in power, show up in miracles, and show up with the supernatural of the kingdom of God. We need to take a hold of what God has for us. And you see Peter stepping on the boat, and you all know this story. This is one of my favorite stories. I preached this so many different times, but this time the Lord brought this whole another message. Isn't it interesting? You can read the Word of God, and you read it, you think it means something, and then all of a sudden the Lord goes, smacks you on the side of the head, and you go, wow, I never saw that before. This is awesome. And I begin to read this, and I begin to understand something, that Peter could have settled in what was comfortable. You can settle as a church of being comfortable with your little group of friends, with your little life group, with your worship services, with what's going on. Or you can say, God, I know that there is more that you have in store for Kings, West Virginia. God, I know that there's more in store for my life group, for my worship team. There's more in store that you want to do is it 9 acres that you got? 9 acres. God wants to do more than you can ever imagine, ask, or think. But all that won't happen as long as we hold on to our boat. We hold on to those places and those people that are comfortable sitting in the same spot. I don't know about you, but I have an issue. I have an issue. And my issue is this. I always go around, and my wife has had to tell me to chill sometimes. But I have an issue, and it's this. I always am infatuated. I'm in awe of the more that God could do. You know, I come to a certain place and then I go, wait, there needs to be more. I'm content, but I know that there needs to be more. And Peter had that same desire in his heart. He desired to say, God, there has to be more. You're walking on the water. Everybody else is in this boat. But God, there has to be more. Before Peter walked on the water, he had to step out of the boat. The boat represents your comfort zone, your fears, and everything that feels safe. Ever tried talking to people and evangelizing? It feels like you're stepping on the water. Ever tried to evangelize, you know, in the grocery store? You're like, Lord, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. Okay, hey, Jesus loves you. And you're like, are they going to shoot me? No. Am I the only one that's ever been there? Like, you, it's the fear of rejection. When you die to the opinion of man, you begin to live for the things of God. That's just how it works. You die to yourself daily, so you pick up your cross and you move towards the things that God has for you. I got a Speedy Gonzalez. You have a second service, so I got to preach faster. It's not a revival service. I got to go for it. When you die to yourself, you begin to live for God. Peter had to make a decision to die to his fear in order to step out into the call that God has for you. This morning, I'm here to slap you over the side of your head, to love you, and to tell you that God is calling you to a greater level in 2025, a greater level of prayer, a greater level of intimacy with the Word of God, a greater level of His presence, a greater level of His power. But are you ready to respond to the call? Oh, are you ready to respond to the call? Because if you respond to the call, you begin to see something of what begins to happen here in the life of Peter. Number one, when you respond to the call, there are a few steps that you respond in. Number one, our lives begin to respond in the step of a greater desire. Peter's first step wasn't physical. It was in his heart. It was his desire for something more than what was in the boat. Is there a desire for something more than what is in your boat today to say, God, my life doesn't have to look like this any longer. My family doesn't have to be broken. My marriage doesn't have to be dysfunctional. God, you can do a new thing. There's a desire for more. More in life that God can do. But how about this? There's a desire for more of God in every situation. More of His presence in your life. More of His presence in your worship. That when you come into His, when you come in a moment of worship, you're not just thinking about what you got to eat for lunch on a Sunday morning. But when you come to worship, all of a sudden you recognize the moment that you're in and the awe that you're standing in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And your worship begins to change because your worship begins to have a desire. I'm preaching to myself this morning. I don't know what's going on. There's a desire for more, but how about this? You need to take the step of desire, but how about this? Take the step of decision. There needs to not just be a step of desire, because I see a lot of people, especially my age. I'm going to pick on people in my generation because I can. There's a lot of people in my generation that they get infatuated with the presence of God and they love soaking in the presence. And I'm all for that. You got to be in the presence of God. You got to soak in the presence of God. But we become spiritual junkies. You know what I'm talking about. You just turn the piano music on and you just go, I'm just soaking. Your life doesn't have any fruit. You're not evangelizing. You're not loving your neighbor. You're just being spiritually weird. Right? Because passion without a decision of action is straight up weird. You're just passionate for no reason. Your passion needs to be connected to the action of making a decision that in every area I'm going to choose to step. I'm going to choose to step out in prayer. I'm going to choose to love those that are unlovable. I'm going to do things that God is calling me to do, stepping out of my boat. But how about this? Number one, the step of desire. Number two, the step of decision. But how about this? God's calling us to a greater step of character. When everybody else in the boat was choosing to be afraid. You go, Michael, how do you choose to be afraid? You can choose to be in fear, or you can choose to be bold. That's faith. Faith, can I throw this out there? Faith doesn't have to look perfect. It has to be progressive. In the process of my wife and I moving and even going to Dallas, we stepped into a church with an English congregation of about 12 people, with a Spanish congregation about the same. Maybe on a good week they had about 50. Praise God. Evangelistically speaking. We stepped into that scene. The building was destroyed because of flood and freezes and everything like that. We were looking at the impossible. We were looking at something that was destroyed, and I had a choice to make in my character. Am I going to be a person that is going to walk in what I see in the natural, or I'm going to be a person that chooses to put on the character of Christ and walk on the impossible? God's calling you to put on the character of Christ, to put on His character. When Jesus called Peter out of the boat, He wasn't just calling him to walk on the water. He was calling him to walk like Christ was walking. And I believe that is the greatest call even today for our lives as people that follow Christ, is that is our life walking like Jesus. What did that look like for us? That looked like when I was dealing with contractors, and when I was believing God and with doctor and doctors believing God for the finances, and the finances was coming in and all that stuff. My character needed to look beyond the empty seats. It needed to look beyond the empty buildings. And it needed to say, God, if you called us here, you're going to make us walk on the impossible, and you're going to see this place filled. Well, fast forward a year later. We're not a congregation of 12 people. We have four different congregations now, ministering to close to 400 people on a Sunday. That's what walking on the impossible looks like. Was it easy? Absolutely not. It was one of the most testing, trying years of our life. But it was something that God did, was He refined and is refining our character in the midst of the step. If there's no problems, there is no development of character. It is in the midst of the problems that our response develops the character of what Christ is calling us to walk in. Does that make sense? I was talking to somebody today and this week, and they were talking. He was asking me. He goes, "Well, is it the problems that define you and build your character?" I said, "No. I truly believe this. Each and every one of us go through problems. We all go through the valley, but it's in the midst of the valley what your response is will determine whether you pass the test or not. The test is not the problem. The test is the response." Some of you need to know this. You're walking around thinking the test is what God's trying to teach you. No, God's not. Slap yourself. God's not trying to teach you something through your test. He's trying to teach your response so that you can get past the problem and into the place of victory that God's called for you. Amen? So there's three steps: steps of desire, steps of decision, and steps of character in stepping out and letting go and taking hold of the call. But how about this? Number two, don't let the distractions distract you or discourage you in the midst of stepping in to your destiny moments. I don't know about you, but I've faced some interesting things in ministry. And I've noticed something. That in ministry, the enemy has the same tricks. He can't create stuff. He has the same tricks over and over and over again. And if you and I can begin to recognize the tricks that he has to derail people from destiny, we can begin to recognize it as a spiritual attack and be able to conquer it. There's three different areas. Number one, discouragement. The spirit of discouragement will always try to come after those that are trying to pioneer in an event, in an area. When you're pioneering, when you start a life group, when you're trying to start a ministry, you got to deal with different levels of discouragement. Number one, the level of discouragement is self-discouragement, that you don't think that you're qualified to do what God's called you to do. We all go through that. Number two is the discouragement of, what if I do something and it doesn't work out? Anybody ever had that? If I do something, if I start this, if I do this, if I give, what if it doesn't work out? But what if it does? My God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I can imagine, ask, or think. Why? God wants you to get out of the realm of your stinking thinking to get into the realm of His faith, so that you can say, I'm not going to let discouragement be the doorkeeper of my destiny. Oh, that's a word for somebody today. You've been facing discouragement, and the enemy's been trying to put this weight of discouragement on you. But God wants you to know this morning that He's called you, He's washed you, He's delivered you, and He's equipped you by the power of His Spirit to do everything that He's calling you to be. If He called you, He'll supply what you need to walk on the impossible. You think Peter had to produce a little raft when God called him? Let me sew this thing together real quick. He didn't have to make a raft in order to walk to God. He stepped, and God gave him. You go, what did he step on? Who knows what he stepped on, but he walked on water. When was the last time you walked on water and didn't drown? He walked on the impossible. It's not for your mind to figure out what's going to happen. It's for your mind to say, yes, and I know God will. With this church, that's what God's going to do. God's saying, I'm going to take you to those 9 acres. I'm going to cause this church to multiply. That you're going to minister to 500 and 1,000 people on a Sunday morning. You go, how can that be? I don't know anybody. You don't have to. You just need to be a person that's willing to let the fire of God get on your life and let the power of God radiate through you. And God will begin to use you and say, go here. Speak to that person. Speak to this person. And watch all of a sudden, boom, one family gets at it. The next family gets at it. The next family comes here. And then all of a sudden, you're surrounded with people and faces that you never saw before. Why? Because you got past the discouragement and you stepped into destiny. And all of a sudden, when they're sitting here, now, you begin to see miracles and families begin to be what? Healed, delivered, and set free. That's the reason why we're the church, is because God has called us to see people's lives healed. Somebody say healed, delivered, and set free. God wants you to be a healer, a deliverer, and a person that sets the captives free. Come on, somebody clap your hands and give God some praise real quick. Number one, we must let go of what is. There's three steps in that. The step of desire, the step of decision, the step of character. Number two, it's the letting go of the distractions and the discouragement. The first attack is discouragement. The second attack is distractions. Discouragement, if you're going through discouragement, get in the Word. Get the Word of God in you, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Faith will deliver you from discouragement. If you're lacking something in your life, read the Word. If you're lacking something in your ministry, read the Word. There's scriptures for every arena of your life. But how about this? Distractions. When you step out to do ministry, there's always going to be distractions. As I was stepping out in Dallas, God started bringing people to the church, and people that had influence and money and all that stuff. And you're over there, you know, as in ministry, and you're doing it by faith. And all of a sudden, the enemy starts whispering in your ears and starts telling you, well, what if? What if you work somewhere else? What if you do something else? And all of a sudden, what happens? You begin to see the shiny. The enemy always distracts. If he distracts, he'll derail. How about this? There's a person in our church. God's called him. He has a tremendous anointing upon his life, and I try to push him forward. I try to encourage him. And every time he tries to step into ministry, something always happens with his finances. Up till one day, I looked at him, and I said, what you're going through in your finances is a distraction and a test. The enemy is distracting you. The test is your response in the midst of the distraction. I said, what are you going to do about it? You know what that guy did? In the initial stages, he began to pull back and try to figure it out. And then he came to the realization, wait, if the enemy is actually trying to come against my finances to stop me from serving in the church, I'm going to serve in the church even more. Because he understood this. When you build God's house, God will build your house. When you take care of the kingdom of God will cause all those things that you need to come after you. And he began to serve, and he began to plant himself. That's a whole other message, planting yourself. I wish more people planted themselves and let their roots grow in the things that God's called them to do in a church. But he began to plant himself, and all of a sudden he began to see God get him out of that situation, and now he's beginning to break through. Why? Because he realized that what he was going through was a test. But how about this? I want to end on this. Can I have the keys to make this sound spiritual? Please and thank you. Step number one, you got to let go. You got to take hold of the call. Number two, you need to move forward in the things that God's calling you to do. Sorry, my notes had a glitch. Number three is this. You need to step into purpose. When God called Peter out of the boat, he didn't just call him to walk on water. You're not just going to do things just to look cool. I wish it was the case. You know, you just step out and God calls you to plant a church because God thought you were cool. I don't think it works that way. God calls us to move into a realm of the more, of destiny moments, because there's a purpose attached to it.
Our lives have a purpose, and you find the purpose of why Peter walked on the water in verse 33. And it says this, "Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, Jesus, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Peter's ability to walk on water was a testimony of who Jesus is. It showed the rest of the boat that he is who he says he is. When God calls you and I to walk on the impossible, it's not just so that you can get out of the stuff that you're in. It's so that your life can become a testimony for heaven and for eternity. That when people said, if God can do it in his life, God can do it in mine. I didn't know that when I left Hawaii that the first place that the first church that would open up, that the first church would open up would be Dallas. That the first church to preach in, it was just the prayer chapel that was able to preach in. And at the time, we left Hawaii and it was the season of radical giving. I was saving up to have a house and we ended up giving almost everything we had. Had $6,000 in my bank account and moved to the mainland. I was like, woohoo, $6,000 for the rest of the year. Praise God, this is awesome. And then at the service, the Lord said, give, the first service. And then they had the Spanish service. And then the Spanish and the English thought, man, this was really good. God moved. We should have an evening service, even though they never had an evening service. They had an evening service and five people showed up. And then I looked at my wife and I said, give what you want. And she ended up giving 10% of everything in our bank account. Like, you know, when you have a lot and you give 10%, that's a whole other story. But when you're living by faith and you have $6,000 in the account and your wife gives $600. And then to make it worse, and the Lord speaks to me and says, oh yeah, and they took up an offering for you. Tell them to keep all of it. Keep all of it. I didn't know that God was setting us up to plant seed in the very place that God would call us to serve. Every step was a step of destiny. That God asked me, will you do it? Yes, I will. Ordinary life. Ordinary family. The only thing that was different about us, we were willing and daring enough to say yes. And there was a vision. And that's what I want to end on this morning. Is Peter stepped out of the boat. Because yes, he had the desire. Yes, he had the faith. But I want to throw this out there to you. Peter had something that was even greater than all that. That was attached to it. He had a vision of walking on the water. Does your life have a vision of what God wants to do with you? Do you have a vision of what God wants to do in this church? I know vision is progressive. And so if you don't have anything, anybody in your life group, you got to have a vision to have 10 before you have 1,000. If your church doesn't have 500 yet, you got to have a vision to be able to have 250 or 300. Vision is progressive. I know that. But Peter had a vision that was progressive as well. He had a vision of, can I take this step? Because your vision, as Dr. Morocco says, your vision will either hinder you or it'll propel you. And this morning, the purpose of this message of walking in divine destiny is this. God wants you and I to walk in the steps that he's called us for, but is your vision been hindered? Because if your vision is hindered, your steps are hindered. And God wants this church to take great steps. And God's going to cause this church in 2025 to multiply. But he wants you to get your vision back. Maybe that there's been discouragement that's come after the vision. There's been disunity that's come after the vision. There's been things that have come after the vision and it's been limiting you. This morning by the Spirit of God, God is going to rip off those labels, those things, that discouragement, those areas of your life that have been trying to blind you from putting your eyes on Jesus and walking in what God has for you. God is going to restore what the enemy has been trying to steal in your life. So this morning, this is what I want to do. I want to pray for that God would remove the blinders, that God would deal with the discouragement, that God would deal with those areas of your life that have been trying to stop you from stepping into what God has for you. Because Peter was blinded by the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. Sometimes that's like all of our lives. We begin to be enamored and we begin to be consumed by those things that surround us, that we begin to lose sight of the very calling that God's called us for. Don't lose sight of what God has called this church to do. God has called you to affect the very fabric of West Virginia. God has called you to pastor the state. God hasn't called you to settle in your discouragement. God has called you to have a vision to propel forward and to do everything that God's calling you to do by His Spirit. Somebody say amen. This morning, I'm praying that there will be a couple people this morning that will choose to catch on to this message and say, yes, I know that there's more. I know that God wants to use me. I know that if I give God my yes, He'll raise me up to be the pastor, the minister, the evangelist, the prophet to my family and to my city. Come on, stand to your feet. Just lift those hands to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, not by might nor by power, but by Your Spirit, Lord, I pray for an anointing this morning, an anointing to step into the deep, to go into the areas and the spaces that You're calling us to go in. God, that this church, these people, God, will not be limited by what they see in the natural. But Lord, I pray for the gift of faith this morning. God, I pray that the gift of faith would be released in our lives in a greater measure. That God, in every area of our life, that You would cause us to walk on the impossible. That You would cause miracles, signs, and wonders to break out in every area. That God, that Your Spirit would be made manifest here in Fairmont, West Virginia, through Kings. Lord, I pray that You would do a deep work in the hearts of Your people this morning. I pray for families that need to be restored. Let it be restored this morning. If this is you, I'm just going to pray for a few things. Just lift your hands to the Lord and just receive it. Families are going to be restored. God, those that have been discouraged, God, that it's been like a spirit of depression that's been trying to come after you. You haven't been able to sleep at night. God's going to give you peace, and God's going to give you rest even right now. In the name of Jesus, that thing breaks off of your life. It breaks off of your family. It's almost like this depression that's been a generational thing. Your mama had it, your grandmama had it, and now you got it. God's breaking that off in Jesus' name. You're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory in the name of Jesus. God's going to raise you up to be a pastor of pastors. You're going to pastor, and God's going to cause you to pastor those. There's a fire of God that's upon your life. And you're not going to settle for just here. You're not just a worship leader. You're not just in worship. You're not just in youth. God's hand is upon your life. And by the time that God's done with you, you're going to look back and you're going to see the mighty hand of God at work. Father, in the name of Jesus, fire upon his life even right now in the name of Jesus. I need somebody to stand behind him real quick. Father, I thank you for the prophetic call, the prophetic mantle, the prophetic vision. Father, I pray for the gift of faith. Lord, I pray for the gift of faith. There it is, the mantle of faith upon his life even right now. Healing to your body. The Lord says, by His blood stripes you are healed in the name of Jesus. The fire of God's on your lips, sir. You're going to preach the gospel. He's given you a gift of evangelism. Speak the word of God. And God says, watch what I will use. He's put a coal of fire in your mouth. And when you speak, that fire will be made known to people. In the name of Jesus, peace in your mind. Every situation that you're going through, peace in your mind. I see the scripture that says the peace of the Lord, it goes beyond your understanding. It's going to surround your life. I see the Lord surrounding your mind with peace, surrounding your thoughts with peace. And I see that even as you experience the depth and the deep working of the peace of God, you're going to begin to walk in that area for people. You're going to begin to, God's going to give you the words to say for peace. Even in family situations, I don't know what's going on, but there's going to be peace in the home in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you use him, even in the workplace, but even in ministry. For there is a call of God that's upon your life, and I see this picture of you, and I see the call, let go of the boat and step into the deep. There's a depth that God is calling you to, sir. There's a depth in the things of God that he's calling you to. And it's almost like this last year, it's been the Lord peeling your hands off of that boat. And I see one hand reaching for the more and one hand on that boat. And I see the Lord saying, trust me and see what I will do. And I see you letting go. And I see the Lord taking you into the depths. The scripture that I hear for you is that the deep calls unto the deep. There is a deep call upon your life that is calling unto the Lord, and the Lord is calling for you. So Father, I pray for fire. I pray for your presence. I pray for supernatural encounters, Father God, that you would drench him with your power, even right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for that. in the name of Jesus. Everybody that needs healing in your body, just lift your hands to the Lord right now. You have pain in your back. Somebody's sciatic nerve, it's been hurting really bad. Somebody has pain in your abdomen. God's bringing healing to that right now. Migraine headaches, God's bringing healing to that even right now in the name of Jesus. Father, for those that need healing, every bit of pain, every bit of sickness, illness, and infirmity, there's somebody here, your family member has been diagnosed with cancer, and God's going to bring healing even to that person that has cancer this morning. It's like a terminal cancer. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, according to Matthew 18:18 and Luke 10:17, that you said, whatever we bind on earth is loose in heaven. Whatever we bind on earth is loose in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loose in heaven. In the name of Jesus, we bind and break every sickness, every illness, every infirmity. And God, we speak healing even right now. We command bones be healed in the name of Jesus. Backs be healed in the name of Jesus. We command sciatic nerve be healed in Jesus' name. Those migraines be healed. Those nightmares be healed in Jesus' name and be delivered. Lord, I pray for tumors to be healed. I pray cancer be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we declare that this church, that this house will become a house of unusual, unexpected, phenomenal miracles. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Zephan, for your wife, I just see the Lord's put you guys together for a great purpose. It's not just him, it's you two. Both of you are like two edges of a sword. And God's going to use you. You have a great gift of discernment. And God's given you a gift of even the prophetic to begin to speak. There's a boldness that's going to hit your life. And you know how to love people and you know how to walk in love, but there's going to be this boldness that comes with love that comes out of you. And both of you together, look, God's going to speak to her and God's going to speak to you. And there's going to be a evident call of what God is calling you to do here. And God's going to use the both of you to be a great change in this generation. A great changer of the tides, if you will, for this generation. There's a great call. I see the Lord wrapping you with the mantle. I see the Lord wrapping you with this mantle. And I see you guys saying yes to everything. Watch and see. It's going to be a wild, wild ride in the things of God. And it's going to be fun. There are going to be people and young couples and people of all ages that are going to begin to surround you. For I see even like God's going to cause you to be like a magnet in the Spirit. That there's going to be things that you pull in. You're going to pull people in. There's going to be conversations and things that God's divine destiny, what I'm preaching on, that divine destiny is for you guys as well. You're going to walk in that divine destiny. The steps that you take are ordered by the Lord. You haven't ended up here for an accident. Don't let distractions of somewhere else distract you from being where God's called you to be. Listen. Listen very closely to what God tells you to do. And stay very close to that, because it's going to open up the greatest treasure of destiny that you can ever imagine for the both of you. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody give Jesus a mighty clap and a shout of praise. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Love you guys. God bless you.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.